Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Center field, Rojas going back near the wall. That ball's gone! Cooper Hummel! 1-0 Astros! Breaks the pitcher's duel here in the eighth.
Once again, the Astros win a game, and I'm not really sure how they do it. All I know is they're going to keep on doing it. Why? What do we say about the 2025 Houston Astros? God's team? God wills it!
God wills it! God wills it! God wills it!
You got a quality start from Framber Valdez, 7 innings, but it wasn't his best 7 innings. The bullpen comes in, does what it does. Josh Hader, goodness gracious, what a year he's having. There's practically zero offense all game. No hit through 5 innings. I think Jeremy Peña had a double, but what was it? 5 total hits? And then Mr. Batflip himself, Cooper Hummel, goes yard again. How he keeps doing that, truly, I couldn't tell you. The Batflips are very funny to watch. And the defense made 2 errors in this game. Didn't matter because you saw Isak Paredes making one of the best throws to home plate as part of a double play that you're ever going to see. I don't know how the hell, while going to his right, he was able to throw it around that base runner. Perfect throw to get the tag at home. But the Astros keep on making things happen. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show. It is Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. That means we got soft boys at 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Line them up on the most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, to YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Also on the brand new app, which you should download, we've also got Washed Watch Wednesday, and we're 70 days away from the start of the NFL season. We've also got an NBA draft to discuss and a Rockets move that went down over the last hour. But I wanted to start by talking about this Astros game. Really, really impressive. It really wasn't the best Framber start. You take a look at what he was able to put up against a very good Phillies team last night. 7 innings, 55 strikes, 35 swings, 13 groundouts, but just 3 whiffs. So he wasn't making people miss, and yet the ground balls, they were coming and coming and coming. Oh, yeah. We now know with where the Astros are at this point in the year, there is no chance of some shocking trade where Framber Valdez ends up getting moved because he's on the last year of his contract. But with the Astros now, do a little math here. I mean, are we at halfway through the season yet? We're very close. 46 plus 33. What is that? 79?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're very close to halfway through the year. Sean, we know Framber's staying here. But a hypothetical. It's a hypothetical. What? It's June, Sean.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to stop people from saying that I look like the Democratic mayor nominee for New York City, which I've gotten far too many of. That bitch ain't as hot as me. He's not. I'm hot. smarter and better at football than him. Also, not a lib. Just saying. Just saying. But bringing it back. I'm also clean shaven now, and I look more like Rachel Maddow than that guy. But bringing it back. Bringing it back. Hypothetical. We know that the Astros are going to make some trade deadline acquisitions when Christian Javier's back. And when Luis Garcia's back.
They're getting a lefty bat, too. And
with Yordan Alvarez, who's swinging a bat again.
One of the best batters of the 2020s.
Just a hypothetical. Could they keep doing this without Fromber? Especially since God wills it. Could they keep doing this without Fromber? What if Dana Brown gets really, really excited? And he's like, you know what? I'm awesome. I'm so awesome. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to make the trade happen. Could they continue to win without him? I'd be pretty skeptical that it would continue at this rate, but they get the most out of their pitchers. And if those guys are back from injury, I can see him getting cocky and thinking to himself, I could do this. Maybe he doesn't actually pull the trigger on the trade, Sean, but he's drunk one night.
Yeah.
He's thrown a few martinis back, or maybe he's a margarita guy. I don't know what Dana Brown likes to drink. And he says to someone in the Astros Letterman jacket society, I could win without Fromber. I can do it without Fromber.
You know what? I'm gonna call the GM of the GM of the Mets. No, don't do it. It's 3 a.m. No, I'm gonna call him.
I'm gonna call him.
Let him know.
I'm not gonna pull the trigger, but I'm gonna be like, hey, we trade you Fromber, and we'd still win because we are winners. You're losers.
He calls the Giants one.
Yeah,
I want Justin Verlander.
That's Jim Crane taking the phone away from Dana Brown. Yeah, Justin, where are you?
Yeah, I think that I understand what you're saying. This is all hypothetical land. I would say I'm not sure if they could do it to this level, but if they did get a random pitcher I've never heard of in the return who's like a major league starter or pretty close to a major league starter, a Wesneski type, I'd be like, I mean, this guy's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
The second he puts on an Astros uniform, they tell him, hey, you know those bad pitches you throw? Stop throwing those. Here's the three pitches you're good at. Only throw those.
The only pitcher I've ever been skeptical about when he put on an Astros uniform was Rafael Montero, because I covered him with the Seattle Mariners. And then he went to the Astros and had a really good season.
Year one was awesome.
I mean, he's then went back to what we knew him to be. But, you could make up a name, and I'd assume that guy will pitch well for the Astros. You could just tell me and say, like, Patches a Houlihan. I mean, that guy.
Billy McGillicuddy.
Right. His name.
Lefty?
Whoa. Oh, he could be the next Fromber.
Okay.
At the Astros, it's going to happen because God wills it. I know that people are perhaps at this point either getting sick of us playing this drop all the time or you're actually starting to buy in. But I truly can't explain this season. I'm loving it. God wills it.
God wills it. God wills it.
I'm at the point now where, like, I feel very comfortable putting the Astros on a top TV and not feeling like I'm going to have to go and watch and think to myself, oh yeah, they're gonna lose. Now, I did look up the score a lot last night because it's nothing-nothing, and it's still nothing-nothing.
It was a tight game.
It was.
And they were getting no hit for like the first five or six innings.
Right, but hey, listen, the offense, even though it's not good right now, it's going to figure it out the last three innings because that's what they've just been doing all season long.
Yeah.
And
it's so funny because the top of their order has been good. I mean, or the top of the order with Peña and Paredes for most of the year. That's been the offense a lot of nights. It's been Peña gets on base, Paredes knocks him in, essentially what we're maybe in Altuve, but it is, it's a lot of Jake Myers. It's a lot of guys that bat at the top of the lineup, but for some reason when they bat in the first inning, they're not good. But then
it doesn't make any sense.
But then, sixth, seventh, that's around the turn when you get to Cooper Hummel range, it's the 8-9 and then into Peña and Paredes. That's when the Astros offense comes alive in the sixth inning. For some reason, I don't know what it is.
It makes no sense. They're the worst team in baseball in the first inning. And they have they're actually the worst.
At 8 o'clock, something changes. And they're like, let's start hitting.
Werewolves? Vampires? I don't know.
Go ghosts, goblins, ghouls. I think they're ghouls.
They're ghouls. Okay.
I feel like we don't talk enough about ghouls.
Well, not the Fallout kind of ghouls who are Walter Goggins and Walton Goggins? Walton Goggins.
Walton.
In the Fallout TV show, he plays a ghoul. But yeah, there's different kinds of ghouls.
Pretty whatever competent.
There's a lot of supernatural going on right now.
Yes.
Whether it's God or ghouls, that's up to you. Is it God or ghouls? 713-780.
We're on the poll.
3776 to call to text. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Some comments. J-Dog, congrats on your mayor nomination. Damn it. Poor Marine says, I should be mayor. If I was mayor of New York City, the first thing I would do is move every single team to the crappiest place in the United States of America, which is, even though it produced both Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, what's the Jackson whose boob we saw, Strong, Powerful, Independent Woman? Janice Jackson. Janet? My bad. Sorry. We're not the most cultured. And Mongos, a.k.a. Alex Karras, as we found out yesterday. Gary, Indiana might have produced some good things, but if you've seen pictures of it, it looks like, I don't know, Chernobyl, minus the radioactive meltdown. And guess what I would do as my first act of mayor of New York City, which I'm apparently now nominated for as a Democratic socialist? I would move every single New York sports team to Gary, Indiana. They would not be allowed outside the confines of Gary, Indiana. I would just do that.
Gary Knicks.
Yeah, the Gary Knicks.
The Gary Yankees.
The Gary Jets. The Gary Mets. The Gary Rangers. Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be really fun. More comments here. Michael Myers was from Gary. Well, the murderer? Huh. Interesting.
I was going to say, Mike Myers is from Canada, so I assume it's the murderer.
Yeah. The murderer. I thought that he also went by Michael Myers. Do you have to clarify if you're a comedic
actor?
The
comedian is Mike Myers.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate the Twitch saying that, yeah, I'm hotter than the mayor of New York City. Or the prospective mayor of New York City. Who beat out an Italian. I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive. Especially when he's got some takes. Anyway, we don't want to drift too far off. It's the Paul Gallant Show. I'm Paul Gallant. God wills it. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. The Rockets brought back Fred VanVleet for a very, very interesting amount of money. Think the Rockets are going big? They're certainly going big in this department. You'll find out how next. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Also live on the brand spanking new ESPN Houston app. If you haven't already updated, it's so much better. If you don't have it, you're missing out. We have contests on it now, and you can also chat. It's also live on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Big news for the Rockets this afternoon, for now, with the NBA draft in a couple of hours, is that the Rockets are declining Fred VanVleet's $44.9 million team option for the 2025-2026 season. And are re-signing him, per Kelly Eco of The Athletic, to a two-year, $50 million deal. The man got a raise! And you know what? I bet a lot of you right now are like, that's absolutely crazy. That's not what he's worth, especially now that the Rockets, with what a season they had last year, and with Kevin Durant aboard, clearly are in the next phase. Where were we going into this year, Sean? Was it phase two already per the Fertitta family? I forget off the top of my head.
Ime Udoka was phase three. Or phase two. That was phase two. Was initially signing Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet.
Okay. My assumption is this is at least phase three.
I think this is three.
If this is not.
I think the Durant trade is phase three.
Yeah.
That's the start.
I think that's right. Theoretically, it could be phase three and a half, phase four. I don't know. But we're moving from one phase to the next, and Fred VanVleet is now making more money over it. And to get to what I was actually trying to say here, I know some of you people look at this contract, and you're like, what? And shame on you. Shame on you. Did you see Fred VanVleet single-handedly carry a Rockets offense to a seven-game series against Golden State? Because no one else was scoring. But you know who was scoring? Fred VanVleet. VanVleet was so awesome in that series, that man deserves every cent he gets. That's how I feel. Rational take? Not really. Correct take. The man, after a lot of guff that he got over the course of the past season, earned this with what he did in this series. Now,
it's also $50 million over 2 years.
Oh, I thought it was $50 million a year. Well, throw that all out.
He's making 25 the next 2 years.
Guess what? Daddy can't read. That's why I should not be mayor of New York City.
25 this year, player option for 25 the next.
This is super embarrassing. I'm not going to lie. I saw this pop up of like 2 year, $50 million a year.
One of my friends texted me being like, wait, this isn't 50 a year. I was like, no.
I thought it was.
25.
Yeah, well, you know what? This happens. Should I kill myself on the air? Seppuku? Huh? The shame that I've brought on my family. How do I recover from this? Would I still be electable as mayor of New York City after this? I think so, actually, from that side of things.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
When's the last time New York's had like a competent mayor or like a mayor that isn't embroiled in scandal?
Great question. Great question. Yeah. I mean, you had Bill de Blasio, whose real name was Wilhelm. He was pandering to the Italian community. You got Eric Adams, who decided to go right. And I guess he's still the current mayor. So
for now, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, I'm still keeping my hat in the race for mayor of New York City, even though I incorrectly read Kelly Eco's report about Fred VanVleet's contract.
It was confusing. No, because Dell and I, it broke during the Dell show. And
okay.
We talked about it for like, we're actually talking about.
This is a pay cut.
We're talking about Fred VanVleet, his next contract as it broke.
Yeah.
And I was stupefied. I was like, wait, so it's a one year with one player option for $50 million? Because normally it's written in a way that's like most beneficial to the player.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wait, so this is just 25 a year for just 2 years?
This is a really good deal for what he did last year. This is a really good deal.
He was not a $40 million player. He is a $25 million player. And they now get him for that. Like he is now getting paid commensurate with what he actually provides.
This is easily the most Chris Broussard I've ever felt. It's like spelling dog in a spelling bee, D-A-W-G.
I mean, that's how the Houston Texans spell it.
That's true. Listen, Sean, I appreciate you trying to gas me back up. And listen, we're on to the next segment. This is a nice move by the Houston Rockets, 2 for $25 a year.
I initially thought you were joking, to be honest.
Nope, I literally just read that wrong.
You were going like, good, 50 a year.
Oh, boy. Hey, the Oklahoma City Thunder had a parade yesterday. See this? Hear about this? It was pretty tame seeming, at least out on the streets. Was it a hot day in Oklahoma City? I don't know. Eventually, the Oklahoma City Thunder got to the end of the parade, and shots were fired by the mayor of OKC, Mayor Holt.
The city, the greatest player to ever put on the uniform, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, number one player in the history of the Thunder. That's just wrong. Could be someday, but it's Durant. It's Kevin Durant. Did Oklahoma City's mayor just create beef between the Rockets and Thunder? Probably not. I don't think Kevin Durant ultimately cares about what some dumb politician says who probably just started paying attention to basketball two rounds ago. But I'm writing this down. I'm adding this to the list of reasons that I don't like the secretive, full of themselves, Oklahoma City Thunder, who really do think they are the smartest people that have ever managed anything in the NBA.
I think as newfound Kevin Durant stands, we do have to hold this against
100%.
Mayor Holt. Again, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I guess, you know, actually, do you think Mayor Holt was looking at Emmanuel Acho's legacy formula, and he was like, well, you know, this is two teams, one title for Shea, as opposed to two titles, four or five teams.
I forgot.
You
got to add the Acho legacy formula. It's the greatest thing that's ever been invented.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady's only a 3.5.
Yeah. He pulls it out and goes, this number's bigger than that number.
Peyton Manning's just a 2. I mean.
No, Peyton's a 1. Two teams, two titles.
Two teams. Oh, that's right. That's right. He only won one with each of them. Interesting. Gets held up the same level as Tom Brady. Very interesting.
I will say, though, Eli, he's got a 2.
Ooh, Eli's at a 2. Eli's better than Peyton, legacy-wise, that's for sure. Hall of Famer, I guess.
Yeah, he's
can't put
greatest,
Peyton in. But
one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Eli's for sure in. So, okay, maybe shots fired by the mayor. Little petty move. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the best player in Thunder history. I'm sure that this guy was not the mayor when Kevin Durant played for the Thunder. And on top of that, he probably wasn't even living in Oklahoma City, because this dude probably grifted in from some other town. That's what the politicians do these days.
I'm like just looking up Holt OKC mayor.
Right. I'm a carpetbagger. Yeah, you know
David
that.
Holt.
But I at least have accepted where I am, and I have looked at the history of sports in town, and sometimes I can come across like I actually saw the old sports from back in the day, you know?
Oklahoma City University's law school.
Oh, okay. So maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, and he was in the Oklahoma Senate 2010 to 2018.
Okay, so he's homegrown. He's homegrown. So yeah. so he is being petty. I think we can actually definitively say he's being petty.
Yeah, I do understand why. Like, he's the first guy to win a title there. So that probably does carry a lot of weight. Or that definitely does carry a lot of weight. I mean, think about like the Astros parades. No one was like, and Jose Altuve, who one day might catch Craig Biggio as the greatest Astro second baseman of all time.
Well, I think in 2017, there was skepticism about that, because he had the first MVP and, oh, check that. He's only had the one. But he won the MVP. They win the World Series. He had won the batting title and had the most
previous
hits in the American
series,
League 4 years in a row. I mean, it was at a point where he was on path.
I was
then he got
say,
the second one. And then then we were officially, okay, he's left Craig Biggio and every
and
Astro.
Bagwell, yeah. Because Bagwell's actually the answer before Altuve. Bagwell's probably the answer. But, that's just how parades work. No one's like,
Well, actually.
He's not Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook, but we still love him.
He's not even James Harden. He's not even Serge Ibaka. Or Nick Collison, who I think was there for a while.
He's our Reggie Jackson.
For the 713, SGA, absolutely best player in Thunder history, because KD didn't win a ring in OKC.
Yeah, legacy formula.
Another texter says, I don't think the OKC mayor is wrong. And another texter says, Paul is a Chris Broussard. Hey, that's not nice. That's not nice, but this segment deserved for sure. Aaron Wiggins gave a post-parade speech as well at OKC's arena. Here's what he had to say.
It was the point where they tried to call us the black hole of the NBA.
Pause for a second. Oklahoma City, I mean, is a black hole, right? Like, would anyone voluntarily want to go there? And we're close to it. We're close to it. And I'm not just speaking for all the Texas fans out there. I'm sure Aggie fans agree. Like, who would ever want to go to Oklahoma? Like, ever. Like, Tulsa King? Do you think Sly Stallone wanted to go to Tulsa in the TV show Tulsa King? No, he wanted to stay up at the Northeast. No one wants to go to Oklahoma. No one. So, yes, it is a black hole, because on top of it being bad for a while, it was in a city that no one ever would want to visit in their right minds unless there was a wedding there for a family member. And even then, you'd probably only begrudgingly go and make a couple of comments to other people going to the wedding about the choice of venue.
Yeah, yeah. I when places like Oklahoma City and like Utah stink, it's like there's extra stink there when they're winning 20 games a season.
At least Utah is close to skiing, okay?
That is true.
At least Utah's got a little
I just mean as like
seasons.
Small markets where they're like, bleep these guys forever. Where it's like when the Knicks were winning 25 games a year, it's still like, hey, it's the Knicks.
Right, yeah. Oh, Big Apple. Dreams are made of concrete jungle. So that is the first part of Aaron Wiggins' speech. Here's the rest of what Aaron Wiggins had to say.
Boo! But 4 years later, when they mention the Thunder organization, when they mention Clay Bennett, when they mention Sam Presti, when they mention Mark Dagnall, and every single one of you in this arena, they got to mention you as NBA champ.
That's a good speech. That's a good speech.
That is a good speech.
You got the range of emotions. You got them riled up. And then you go like, yeah!
Yeah, I mean, we're champs. Clay Bennett, champion.
For sure. He said the fans are a part of it. He did it in a politically correct way. It was nice. I think it plays in Oklahoma.
Do you think David Holt's looking over his shoulder? It's like, hey, a couple of years might be
Mayor Holt, yeah.
Mayor Aaron Wiggins.
It sure could be. It sure could be. I'll be honest. I didn't know who Aaron Wiggins was until this moment right here.
It crossed my mind. I was like, did Paul know who
that no, was? No, I didn't know who that was. I was like, did he play? But he gave a good speech.
Yeah.
He gave a good speech. It was like the speech I gave to my high school football team. Now, things didn't go so well for us.
Well, in fairness, you made the speech before the game.
It was before the game.
It's easy to talk like this after the game.
Right, it's season opener. It was a great speech. I nailed it. And then we lost 63-6. Wait. We didn't score. We lost 63-0. We lost 60. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call to text. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The ESPN app. It's brand new. On Twitch at ESPN 97.5. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. Up next, who's been soft in the world of sports? Soft Boys is next.
ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch. In honor of the time that Ime Udoka saw LeBron James bitching and moaning in the midst of a Rockets-Lakers game and called him a soft-ass boy, every Wednesday at 12:30, we tell you who's been soft in the world of sports. And we got a doozy today from an ex-Houston Texan who you will not remember at all because he didn't do bleep. And after the Texans had clinched the AFC South, the guy was crying in the locker room because he didn't get the ball enough. Is crying an overstatement, perhaps, but he actually had to be consoled by some veteran teammates because he thought that this was going to be his moment to, I guess, rehab the image that he has set on fire like that monk in the Vietnam War. Browns wide receiver Deontay Johnson was on a podcast. It's amazing that he's on a team, by the way. It was an episode called The Comeback. And while on this podcast, Johnson went on record saying he mentally checked out last year from both the Ravens and Texans. He refused to go into a game He refused to enter a Week 13 game against the Eagles because he was checked out mentally. He hadn't played before the team asked him to enter for the first time in the fourth quarter. Quote, I wasn't getting into, like, no run plays, no, like, passing plays, no nothing. It was cold. I'm on the sideline just standing there, like, just going to the heater back and forth, just waiting to hear my name called. End of the third, going into the fourth, they're like, Tay, we need you. I'm like, nah, I don't think it's a good idea for me. Like, I was already thinking about my legs. I don't want to go out there and put bad stuff on film. It's not like I didn't want to go into the game. What? What?
It's not like he didn't go into the game. He wanted to go into the game. Just not at that point. Not when they asked.
Leading up to this point, I'd already been through so much. You pussy. I'm sorry. This is the softest thing I've ever heard, and this guy's an embarrassment to sports, to men, to everything. Like, hey, man, you need to get back to being on the field, given that this was the second of three teams that you were on over a calendar year. Like, yeah. The Panthers were like, yeah, we're done with this. Also, before the Panthers, the Steelers, who have quite the tolerance for crazy wide receivers, also were like, nah, we're good. This is pathetic. He wouldn't check back into the game. Ugh, I'm cold. Ugh. By the way, he signed with the Cleveland Browns. Let's see how that goes.
To be fair, he won't be on the Cleveland Browns by the time it gets to 40 degrees.
He should be cut now.
He won't be.
He won't. Someone asked him, like, oh, who do you think's going to start with the quarterback competition that's going on? It's going to be Kenny Pickett? And he's like, yeah, I think it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Dude, you are not going to see him at all. Brown should cut him right now. Right now.
41 degrees, I will say.
It was 41? I figured it was, like, cold and snowy.
No, it's like that.
Was it raining?
That's nippy.
I can't
do 41.
Some of the guys who do not appreciate the opportunity that they have and the entitlement to think that you deserve another chance based off of what? Based off fourth team in like a year.
Yeah. And the Ravens. You're on the Ravens when this happened.
Why would he say this either? Like,
why would you admit this?
This is... I get being truthful and honest and mental health and all that crap, but why? This guy said earlier this offseason that last year doesn't define me. No, it actually does. Can't say that word. It does. It does. And this defines you even more. Like, so you have redefined yourself as worse than what we thought, which is, I mean, we who were in the Texans locker room all saw it, where he's like crying after they'd clinched it. Veterans are coming up to him, like tapping him on that. He's 28. Unbelievable. I think this guy's going to hold the title belt as softest person in sports for the rest of the year. Every single week we will ask, softer than Deontay Johnson?
Wow.
Yeah, this is...
What if someone gets like... Because normally, you know, we get... over the weeks, this is a Roy McElroy normally finds his way in here. Angel Reese finds their way in here a lot. But I feel like there might be a body of work. Actually, Deontay Johnson's going to do something else. Never mind. He's definitely going to do something. He's not.
Yeah.
How many teams do you think he plays for this season?
None.
Teams do you think sign him this season?
I think if he doesn't make it to the Browns, he's done. Done. He'll be on a UFL team.
Oh, that's a good
point. I don't even want the Roughnecks to sign him. Yeah. This guy sucks. I have no respect for him as a man or as an athlete. Like, I truly don't respect
41
him.
41 degrees, dude.
Dude,
I get.
Dude, come on. Come on. I wore shorts in 41 degree weather. Shorts.
Where's Deontay Johnson from?
It's unbelievable.
Oh. From Tampa. No wonder.
Yeah, guess who went to high school in the Tampa Bay area and wore shorts whenever the temperature dipped because I was trying to prove a point.
He went to college in Toledo.
So he didn't get used to this?
He played for the Steelers.
Yeah, bizarre.
For 5 years, played for the Steelers.
We got a couple of nominees. Someone texted in, you guys are soft being petty about the Thunder winning and having to talk bleep in Oklahoma. No, I mean, if I never go to Oklahoma for my entire life, I'll be better for it. Same with Ohio. I don't want to go to either of those states. Sean didn't say any of these things, by the way. I will stand on business. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, hell no. I don't care everyone that's saying, ooh, the brick something. Ooh, it's great. Nope. I'd rather go to Indianapolis. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What else do we have? Soft Boys continue. Zach Neto from the 281. Yeah, that's a good one with the way that he handled Hunter Brown throwing at him up and in. Darren Waller. The reason he retired from the NFL is because he played fullback for three plays. Here he is talking about that.
I don't know if I've shared this with anybody, but I knew I was retiring when we played in Buffalo, the Giants we were playing there. It was a game where it was really controversial because one of the guys held me at the end. And they didn't call it. It was in the first quarter of the game. We were running like this counter lead running play, and I'm kind of like leading through the hole like I'm a fullback, and the play is working. But I sit down on the sideline after like a drive where we ran like three times, and I'm like, what the f*** am I doing with my life? I'm out here playing fullback. I don't even want to do this anymore. And I'm just like looking at the moon. It's like early first quarter, second quarter. Nobody else would really even know that I'm thinking this, but I'm on the sideline like, yep, I'm going to finish this year with the best of my ability, but I'm definitely done playing after this year. And that was the only time I played in Buffalo.
I watched the three plays. Guess who he was blocking on those three plays as a tight end? Defensive backs.
I was going to say like a nickel corner.
They were all small players. Yeah. He could have clobbered all of them. Like these were kill shots. I can't. This is such a terrible reason. Darren Waller's clearly dealing with something else.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a rapper. Three plays as a fullback in that game, you were out. Stop.
I do like the idea. Got me playing fullback. I like that he throws in. It was working too.
Yes, it was. Someone found the three plays and posted them. They're like, are you serious? Unbelievable. Angel Campos, the umpire who ejected Coastal Carolina head coach Kevin Schnall and first base coach Matt Schilling in game two, which LSU won 5-3. Come on. Listen, conversations from the dugout happen. If you're an umpire, you can't throw the guy out immediately. I understand how it did get to a point where he was arguing calls and strikes, but it did seem like the umpire was being a bit dismissive of everything being said.
You also had the first base umpire who just like tripped on his own feet and then said he bumped into it. It was like classic bad baseball umpiring 101.
Yeah. Like making yourself the center of the story. Yeah.
Angel Hernandez would be proud of Angel Campos for carrying on the legacy.
yeah, for sure.
Joe West put on a white band around his arm for umpire solidarity. Yeah, they loved it.
The thin blue line. Borussia Dortmund, a soccer team, they had to watch their club world match from the locker room in Cincinnati because it was 87 degrees outside.
Yeah.
What is up with the temperature in this week's edition of Soft Boys?
I can't go back into the game because it's 41 degrees, even though my career's on the line.
Yeah, there's a soccer tournament. It's the whatever Club World Cup. And it basically is just a bunch of European soccer players complaining about having to play in like 80 degree weather.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, by the way, Europe, like, generally doesn't have air conditioning on the same level we do, and they have buildings that are significantly less
insulated.
Yeah, so these buildings turn into mini ovens that they're in, so you would think that they would actually be about that life when they come to the United States of America. Yeah. And
like
dealing with
AC
like
everywhere.
Yeah, like and dealing with temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. Nope, they can't at all. Not soft. Sophie Cunningham, by the way, fined $400 for stepping up for Caitlin Clark. Just $400? I mean, so worth it. She gained like a million followers from this moment on social media because everyone's like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. In addition to being a strong, powerful, independent woman and a great basketball player, part of the Tres Leches of the Indiana Fever, here she is talking about sticking up for her teammate.
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I don't go in there trying to predetermine anything. You know, I'm dialed in. I need to focus on hitting my shots, making sure I'm executing the schemes right. I'm not focused on the extracurricular activities. And you know what? During that, it was just part of the game. I think the refs had a lot to do with that. It was a buildup for a couple of years now of them just not protecting, you know, the star player of the WNBA. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to protect my teammates. That's what I do. And I'm a team player, so it's all good.
I love it. More people need to step up for Caitlin Clark. And, I mean, it took way too long for somebody on the Indiana Fever to do it like that. Someone's got to do it next time. And I wonder who that next person will be. But everyone on that team, if the fine's $400?
Well, because it is like a percentage of their pay.
I get it.
Like, they're not making Fred VanVleet money.
I get it. But it's $400.
I don't know. someone find you $400 for doing
yes,
something?
Yes, but WNBA players make more than me. So, I mean, like, that's
close.
Well, I guess it depends. I don't know if she's a veteran.
Yeah.
I know for Caitlin Clark.
Has to be on spot.
Caitlin Clark, I'm making... It is insane that my salary is close to Caitlin Clark's salary.
Yeah, I'm talking about the WNBA salary.
No, that's what I mean. For the rookies, there's like, because there's the rookie scale. I don't know if Sophie Cunningham's a couple of years into the league or something like that.
Oh, $100,000?
Oh, they got a raise. Good for them.
What?
Caitlin Clark effect. Let's go. Stop, boys, everybody. That is who's soft in the world of sports. Deontay Johnson. I'm just embarrassment. Complete embarrassment to men. I can't believe he admitted that. And I mean, what a terrible teammate he's been over the last year. I don't even respect his honesty here. Lie, dude. Lie. Aren't you trying to stay in the league? You deserve to be banished from Canada and the UFL in addition to the NFL because you clearly take the opportunity that you have for granted. And that pisses me off. It actually does. Oh, I'm not going to go back in the game because I didn't play all game. What are you doing here? You're playing for the Ravens. And then you were playing for the Texans. You were playing for the Steelers before that. Okay, Panthers, I can understand it to a degree. You're on a loser team. But, dude, in the middle of a playoff run, don't you want to get on the field? Put on some good film? Oh, it's too cold. I might not put on good film. Well, you know what's going to be worse, Phil? Literally what you just did. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Also live on the brand new and improved ESPN Houston app. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be at Cactus Jack's in Baytown as part of the summer circuit. Really excited for that summer circuit. Of course, you got to show up. Sign up at our promotions table to register to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. Up next, how can anyone hate Kevin Durant when he's saying stuff like this? It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, also live on the brand new ESPN Houston app, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. In living color, I got TV hair today. It's floofy in the back. Perhaps a little too floofy. Might be needing a haircut soon. That's the thought I had. Some people were asking, Paul, are you going to turn this into a mullet? It's on the edge of glory. But I don't know if I have the stones to go that far. Time will tell. That is something I would definitely have to ask the lady about. I would have to ask her. I don't think she'd like it. Anyway. Decisions that you
How mullet are we talking?
I mean, this and see the little curly.
Like, not
in the
like
back?
How like little kids have mullets.
I would imagine a little more tight on the sides.
Okay.
And that would make it a mullet. Because I don't really want like I like how much volume's on top, but in the back.
Are you gonna curl it? like your Kenny Powers?
Do you have to do that?
You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. I'm just trying to picture the mullet.
I've never grown one, and I'm kind of curious. I mean, screw it. I don't have a job where my appearance matters all that much. So we'll leave it up to you on the most interactive sports talk show in town. And listen, the lady will have veto power, but should Paul Gallant grow a mullet? Kevin Durant cannot grow a mullet. Not anymore, I would imagine. It's unfortunate when you play basketball and people can just see your hair at all points
and
time.
Such a tough angle, like overhead lighting. We're looking down at you.
Just... Yeah, I feel for him on that. I even feel for LeBron on that. Like you can't control what's happening up top. Yeah. Propecia for all the guys out there who are starting to lose it. But Kevin Durant is somebody that is very polarizing in the NBA. Let's talk about it, community. And I've always been pro Durant. Except for maybe for a little bit of time when he joined the Warriors. the guy loves the sport. Like, the complete opposite of a Johnny Manziel or Jamarcus Russell or some of these guys who, like, you clearly can tell they were here just to cash checks and have a good time. Durant is obsessed with basketball on perhaps an unhealthy level. Here he is on the Netflix show that was following all those basketball stars. What was it called again, Sean? I haven't yet watched it.
Court of Gold.
Court of Gold.
About the Olympics. Past the Paris Olympics.
Okay. It's on the docket, one of many sports documentaries. Here he is just talking about how much he appreciates the sport.
I can tell how much he means to you, man.
No, for sure. For sure. Because it's like, I come from neighborhoods where people don't even talk to each other. Like, so much hate in the world, too. It's like, when you finally, when people get to start laughing and joking for the game of ball, like, it's cool to me. So, like, it get me emotional, dog. My bad. Because it's crazy to see, because, like, it's crazy to see somebody say they travel so long to come see their favorite player play in the Olympics. They spend their money. They bring their whole family. Like, it's just dope to me. The game just saved my life, so it brought me and my family out of a lot of bullshit, so I'm just, like, grateful for it. For real.
I love how Durant apologizes along the way, and the person who's the producer, he says, no, because he's like, this clip is money.
This is the best clip of the documentary right here.
This is the promo clip. This is how we get people to watch this whole thing. But that was cool because Durant opened up. Durant wears his heart on his sleeve and really wears it on the internet, and I appreciate that. But he's also a guy that loves the sport. I think there are questions that, and we'll ask them as we get further and further away from the trade, about what happens if things do go south, because this is a guy who hasn't exactly had the best relationship with the last two coaches he had. Even if he does have a past relationship with Ime Udoka from Brooklyn, and everyone seems to love Ime Udoka, and even if he does have a past relationship with Royal Ivy, a Rockets assistant coach who he's best friends with, there's always the chance that, you know, being with that person for a long period of time sours in the same way that relationships with your roommate theoretically can sour. But I do love hearing the way that he talks about the sport, because I think that it can only be a good influence on a Rockets team that I think has a lot of players with a lot of good habits. Like, a lot of players, and maybe this is just what the NBA is becoming, a lot of players who just seem to be on the straight and narrow and know how to actually be professionals. It definitely varies, and we'll talk about some of the players coming up in the draft, Sean.
OKC, you're right. It is, you know, all those guys are, like, almost too nerdy. I'm like, hey, guys, crack a Michelob Ultra. You just won the championship. Have some fun. But, you know, there still is, like, Zion and John Morant, who, like, careers got derailed, essentially, from how much not on the straight and narrow they are. But, yeah, I agree with you in general that the Rockets have a good group. I mean, even, like, Cam Whitmore is, like, the closest thing that you'll get to, like, a, you know, kind of knucklehead or malcontent or whatever. And even him, like, I still have hope. I mean, the issue is he wants to play more. You know, like, he wants to have a bigger role. That's why he's upset. So I think that, like you said, all the off-the-court things, same reason that they brought in Fred VanVleet and paid him all that money on his initial contract. It's getting a veteran in here, setting a good example. And to me, Kevin Durant is that, you know, times 1,000 on the basketball court, like how he actually plays to. And then, like you said, like, it's obvious no matter what. Like, you cannot like the Twitter stuff that he does and how he seemingly has rabbit ears and stuff like that. Like, I understand you not liking that. Especially, I understand why people hate him for going to the Warriors. But, like, you cannot deny that he loves basketball, too.
And he's still a great
crazy
player.
Level.
Right. Those two things, those are the only things that should matter. And maybe he doesn't exactly gel with all the locker rooms that he's been a part of, as he's looking for some sort of happiness that maybe he will get with the Rockets. But,
yeah,
he loves this sport. And I'm really happy he's here. I think everyone should be. I think some of the stuff that's brought up by detractors is ignoring the impact he would have on the court for a team that's functional. And in his defense, the last two teams he was on were completely dysfunctional. Both the Suns and just how they're run, and the Nets with the Kyrie Irving situation, with just who James Harden is.
Yeah, and then Harden getting hurt in that playoff run. Like,
they looked pretty good.
That 21 team, like that.
They looked good for a second.
They could have won the championship even with Kyrie Irving hurt. They took the Bucks to 7. They had hobbled James Harden out there. Like, honestly, the James Harden gained a lot of respect for me just in that series, just being out there. He didn't really play that well, but he was obviously hurt and gutting it through. And yeah, Durant almost drug those guys to the finals. So, you just have to respect him as a player. I mean, just look at his freaking stats.
Yes, last year's
stats in a terrible context on a terrible team. He's still 50% from the field, 40% from three-pointer, 27 points per game. He took the same amount of shots on last year's Phoenix team that Jalen Green took on this year's Rockets team. Oof. They took almost the same amount of shots. He shot 10% better from the field and from three.
And he was bummed out on that court at times when he wasn't involved. I think he's going to be heavily involved offensively. But I also think like the defense that he's going to see around him is going to, as someone who loves the game, jazz him up quite a bit. Get him going.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of guys that give a bleep.
Yeah, and I mean, to be around that again, I think it's going to be therapeutic for him. How about that? Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. The brand new app as well. Download it. Update your app if you already have one. Coming up next, it seems the most important Houston Astro to get them back into Death Star mode is closer to a return. How close? Let's let our friend tell us. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings. Naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.